Dr. Lorena Lloret Nadal was raised in Spain. She earned her veterinary degree from the University of Murcia in Spain in 2002. While still a student, she was fortunate to see acupuncture used successfully in small animal practice. After graduation, she was certified in acupuncture by the Association of British Veterinary Acupuncturists in 2003. Afterwards, she started a TCVM practice for horses and small animals in the UK. While visiting Thailand in 2005, she met Dr. Shea from Chi University. She was certified in acupuncture by Chi University in 2006 and was an intern at the University of Florida in integrative medicine in 2006 as well. She completed additional certifications in Chinese herbal medicine, food therapy, and Thuy Na from Chi University at that time. After her time in Florida, she returned to Spain to start a TCVM practice, culminating in becoming the chief of service in integrative medicine at the Veterinary College in Madrid. In 2022, she relocated to Ireland to continue TCVM work for both small animals and horses. In addition to her clinical practice, she's been very active in teaching, writing, and lecturing on various TCVM topics all over the world. Please enjoy this conversation with Dr. Lorena Lloret Nadal as we discuss her education, clinical practice, and involvement with the establishment of Chi University in Europe. Lorena, thanks for taking so much time out of your Sunday to talk to me.
Hello, Neil. How are you? I'm so glad to be here.
Thank you. So where were you raised?
Well, I was born in Spain, in Alicante. It's a town very seaside coast in Spain on the east part. And then, yeah, I lived there with my family until I moved to Murcia, which is very close as well, but to study veterinary degree. And since then, I've been coming and going and moving, yeah.
Oh, there's a lot of moving we need to talk about. But first, yeah. did you always want to be a veterinarian?
Since I remember, yes. You know, all my life when I was a very little girl, I was surrounded by animals, right? I remember my dad, he used to find dogs and then bring them home, you know? So for me, it was becoming very like natural. Like my best friends, yeah, were dogs, and especially dogs, I would say. But then I find that I love every animal, yeah, every living creature.
Oh, that's wonderful. Did you enjoy veterinary school?
Yeah, I enjoy. Maybe it take me longer than expected. So for me, it was like, oh, I need to finish this. Because when I finished, I felt a little bit like, I need to find something else, you know? Like the Western side, all the protocols are great, but for me, I was thinking always in a more individualized point of treating the animals, no, and seeing them, not such like in groups. So, also some of the parts I find in a little bit like aggressive treatments for them, and then I didn't like that too much. But before I finished my degree, I had the chance to be in a conference that one of my mentors, Dr. Silverstein, he was able to give a talk about how he recovered a paralysis with acupuncture. And a dog paralyzed. And I was like, no way. this is not possible. So then I went to his office, you see, and I was like, okay, tell me the truth. What's going on? And he said, no, this is the truth. And then this is how I connect with acupuncture my first ever time in my life. It was like, I don't know, before 2000, probably, yeah, 1998, something like that, yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. So what sort of practice did you go into after you graduated?
So when I graduated and I finished, I was pretty sure I want to investigate more in the acupuncture thing, but my English was terrible, you see. And then even worse than now. But what happened is that, yeah, I went to UK. And then I was lucky enough, I don't know, but they ran the first veterinary acupuncture course in 2002, 2003 by the ABVA, which is like the IVAS British. And that was my first contact. And in the meantime, what I did was working for the government on, on the ports, for the government, working with meat, cutting meat plant, which I hated, like a sanitary police. And I didn't like it at all, but I learned also the importance of how, sometimes we have to do things that we don't like to get to the point that we like, you know what I mean? Like a plan. Yeah. And then I was able to save money. I was working part-time, checking all the meat, cat meat and meat foods that come in shippings, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then that allowed me to save money to invest in my studies of veterinary acupuncture. And once I got my first certification, I start to run my own little house call service with dogs and cats and horses in UK. And yeah.
Did you enjoy that first course?
Yes, I enjoy it very much. I enjoy, for me, it was like an open door, you know, and window. It was quite Western, like, nerves and... Yeah, so I love it. I miss a little bit of Chinese, more Chinese deep medicine in that point. That bring me to the thing that I thought, okay, I need to do something else in my life. That was like 2004, 2005. And then I was searching in the internet, maybe going to Thailand somewhere, you know. It was also, I want some sun. I remember that like was yesterday. And then I thought, okay, I'm going to go to Thailand. I'm going to help animals. And then I found in Thailand, there was a course in the University of Chiang Mai. And then Dr. Xie was there giving the basic acupuncture course again. And I was like, okay, I think I need a refreshment. And I never met him before. So then I went to Thailand and I met him. And and for me, it was like, okay, I found my master, and then that's what I did. I went there and I did another certification in veterinary acupuncture. And then I think he saw me so excited and happy. This was 2005, on the Christmas time. And then he was like, okay, would you like to come for internship to University of Florida and also do some more advanced courses? And then I say, of course. And then I went in March 2006. I went to the States, my first ever time, to do advanced course in horses and also to stay with him for a few months in the UF, like following him, you see?
Yes.
Hmm.
How was that at the University of Florida? Was that a...
Oh, well, it was breathtaking because it was a lot of cases and work, only acupuncture and Chinese medicine. So for me, it was like, wow, no, this is what I really want to do one day. And then I found my pathway. Yeah, like, okay, like, I love it. And then that only gave me more and more interest to go ahead and learn Chinese herbal. Then in the summer of 2006... Yeah, in the summer of 2006, sorry, my memory.
Yeah.
In the summer of 2006, I was invited in China to Lanzhou Institute of Pharmacology to learn, to have my first contact really on Chinese herbals. And that was an amazing experience. It was for 5 weeks, but it was a full time there, you know? So it was really, really, I could see the Chinese style, let's say, you know, like a pure. And that we have a translator from Chinese to English. And it was me and two more people from Montenegro were the only Western people. The rest were all, of course, from different countries like China or Indonesia or Thailand or, you know.
Was it difficult to learn using a translator?
Yes, it was. It was really, for me, it was like the first time really having that direct contact. And it was like, okay, one day I will get it. But yeah, but it was a really great experience. Yeah. Yeah.
Was the, going back to Florida for a minute, did you go away from that experience with a good taste of being in a referral center?
Yes. What happened that, for me, was very good idea, and then was a very good experience, I mean. And then, yeah, after that, I remember I attend the first American Journal meeting that they were held in there. And then Dr. Xu was like, okay, maybe one day you can do something similar in Europe. And then I was like, well, I don't know. Give me some time. Because at that time I was living in UK and I was planning to move back to Spain, you see. So then I was like, well, I don't know. Then I went to China and then come back to UK. And then I make my decision. I say, okay, what should I do? And then I decided to come back to Spain in 2006 at the very end of the year. And then, yeah, since then, I started working in a small animal clinics, offering my referral service, house calls, but also on clinics. And then in 2008, it came the idea of, well, Dr. Xi proposed to do the Qi Institute of Europe. And then is when we start the first course in 2008 in Madrid. And that's how we established that.
There must have been a lot of logistics in setting up a course.
Oh, well, yes. And especially also the fact that after that, we just didn't stop, you know. So 2008 to 2021, the Qi Institute of Europe was an institution that we were, okay, was a lot of a challenge, but a lot of illusion, yeah, a lot of excitement, a lot of good vibes as well to go ahead, you know, and do it. We really enjoy it. So I'm very happy to an honor, you know, to being able to do this for so many years. So,
oh, absolutely.
It was a pleasure always. Yeah. Also see the interest, you know, of the vets growing and coming. Yeah. We used to hold two courses, just like a Spain course, Spain class in a Spanish language, and then the English class for the Europeans.
Where was the European course?
The European course we did in Madrid.
You still had it there? Yeah. Just in English.
We have the people. Yeah. We have two classes, you see, in a Spanish language and another class in English language. And that was going very good. I think pandemic changed everything, you know, and then the people didn't want to travel. And then it was a very, very, very concerning in that way. And yeah. And that's when, okay, we decide to change the structure and the paradigm. Yeah. And that's why I moved to Ireland again. Well, no, again, this is my first time in Ireland with my family and do another. Yeah. And maybe the Qi has a little different branches, you know, around Europe, which is easier for me.
Oh, sure. So when you first started organizing that course in Spain, that must have been obviously, like you said, quite an honor, but in the logistics of putting together a course, but I imagine that it was good for your learning too, to have two classes, you know, have that reinforcement of everything that you are already doing.
Amazing. Yeah, that was the best opportunity that I had, you see, because, you know, the best way to learn is to teach. For me, it was like, okay, this is incredible. This is amazing. Of course. Yeah. Yeah. Logistically, okay, a lot of organizing and this and that. But I think once you do one, you just know more or less what to do. At that time in 2008, no online. You see, we only had on site. So it was different. Yeah. But I really like it. I like the contact, you see. I like the contact with the professor, with the student, and then, I don't know, a direct. But I also understand the convenience of the online. So, well, the time changed and everything changed a little bit more in that way, you know, doing more online.
Sure. So when you first started, I imagine Dr. Xie, did he come over?
Yes, he came at least for 5 years. He loves Spain, you see. So he say always, Spain is my third home. So I think he really liked Spain because he came for 5 years in a row. Yeah, everything. And the first 2 years, he came every single module he was there teaching us. So we were really lucky in that way. You know, also wonderful doctors like Madeline Yamate.
Sure.
Yeah, she came for 2 years. Also Dr. Roger Clement, he came. Also, we have the pleasure to meet so wonderful, like also Dr. Constance Natalie, Dr. Bruce Ferguson, he came at twice. So yeah, we really also Dr. Karen Spracklin. So yeah, we were really lucky.
And then eventually, did you train your own teachers?
And with the time, you know, my own, you know, students that they become really good and practice a lot, that they became like TAs, you know, trainers, and then they become more teachers. Exactly.
And did the students who took the course, were they mostly from Spain, or were they from all around? I know you did the English class for the English speaking, but so you were spreading graduates all over Europe?
Yes, you mean like the students, they were like different countries. Maybe half class was Spanish, half class was from other countries.
Okay.
Was that the question? Sorry.
Yes. No, yeah, that's what I was asking.
That was, yeah, and different countries. We have, I don't know, Switzerland, Austrian, of course, UK and France and Italy, Portugal, Malta. I can't remember, but Romania. I mean, almost every country in Europe for sure. Germany a lot as well, but also from other countries. You see, like India or Pakistan, or they came all over to Spain. I think people like Spain, the sand, you know, and yeah, they have a good vacations as well after the course.
Well, that's always wonderful too. To have somewhere good to travel to.
Exactly, that they can enjoy as well, you know.
So what took you to Ireland?
Yeah, and that's the, you know, now that we are here, many Irish people say, like, why you come to Ireland? It's raining every day. Why you move to Spain? To Ireland? Okay, this is, I don't know, when many little things, you see, one thing, like when pandemic exploded, we changed the paradigm of the CHI. Like no one went to travel, okay? And then I said, okay, let's establish little ones, different open. That was one side. So that was sorted. And then also, I was working in Spain for 10 years in the university, Alfonso X, WAX, giving the clinical service. And it was really successful. I feel a bit overwhelmed, you know? You know the feeling of the burnout.
Yeah.
When you are like a lot, you know, and then I have the CHI and I have to look for, you know, I feel a bit under pressure. And then when the pandemic exploded, it was like, boom, just stuck 3 months at home with my kids. I love it. You know, I used to work in the hospital, sometimes getting home like 10 o'clock in the night. And I miss a lot of my little kids. So everything was like, okay, maybe we can do different. Maybe we can really change. And then my husband loves Ireland. He loves it. I mean, he loves. Probably something in his ancestors. I don't know.
But
yeah. And then I love horses, you see. And
yeah.
Last 10 years of my life been more dedicated to small animals. I don't know why, but in Spain, it was not so easy for me to go into the horse world. I don't know why, but it's like something that it was easier to approach the small animal. But then I thought, okay, maybe I just need it quiet, you see, and then like a break, mental, and then start again in a place that, okay, nobody knows me in the way that I can start over, and I can do maybe open a horse clinics. And then, yeah, I don't know. Also, we want for our kids, we wanted them, this education is very good as well. I want them to become bilingual, you know. I want them to learn English. I want them to see the world and to see also that everything is possible.
Yeah.
That you can always change, but not for fun, you know, even for a reason. If you see the story of my life, always moving, you know.
Yes.
I'm a person that since I left home at 18, I'm always living in very different places and I feel good. So, yeah, this time my husband took the, you know, he proposed to me and then I say, okay, he want to live this adventure,
mm-hmm.
this experience, and I follow him. So, yeah, I know it sounds a bit like, why, you know, you have everything you were established. Now I'm very happy with it. You see the university that I used to work in Madrid. I'm super happy because they now agree to run the Chi courses to host them. So I'm going back 3 times per year there to teach the Chi courses.
Wonderful.
So it's wonderful because I don't lose the contact. I mean, I love them, you know. It was just a moment of burnout, like too much work and, you know, and pressure and this and that. And then it was like, okay, I need a break. And this idea came and here is more horses than people, I will say. So I really enjoy. I just ran my little service, but it's going well, you know.
Perfect.
Also, I work a small animal a bit here. But I have more simple life, I will say.
Good. I want to back up for a second. So when you ran the service at the university in Spain, you had that experience of being at Florida with Dr. Shea. And I know that Madeline has been there as well. And she and I have talked about it, just that the respect that Dr. Shea gets in a clinical setting like that. How was it for you to establish a service in Spain at a university and work with your colleagues? What sort of, were there hurdles there?
Okay. At the beginning, it was like, I was like a transparent, you know, nobody pay attention.
Yes. Yes.
First year, no one. Maybe I have only my own cases. I was like, okay, maybe this is not going to work. But I have the support of the former dean there, which very important. And he was also the director of the hospital. So I say to him, look, maybe this is not working. Maybe, but I need that the team supports this. Otherwise, it's not going to work. So, and then, yeah, little by little, they start to send me cases and the cases start to, they start to see that really acupuncture Chinese medicine works very well. And then within few years, it was one of the most popular services there, really. I that's why I was working like crazy and too many hours, because I was able to cooperate with the oncology service, internal medicine service, of course, with the rehabilitation, you know, and post-surgical, even on the emergencies. I used to give a little talks, you know, to them about what points they may use. Also, we did a very good study with anesthesia analgesia in surgeries, with stifle surgeries, which is my master thesis that I hope we can publish the paper very soon. So there was a lot at the end, you know, it was a very, very, before pandemic explode and everything stopped, it was a really, really good vibes. So I have to struggle. Yeah, of course, there are some parts of the university, maybe they don't like it. I think they don't know, you know, and they don't want to know. But in general, it was a very, yeah, at the end, I think the time is there, you know, and the people see, because you see hundreds of cases and they go well, at least we give the quality of life. So for them, it was like, okay, many of the practitioners, they have this service in their mind. So I just have good words for them, you know. I find...
That's so wonderful to hear. And it just... How amazing that you had the support of one person who had influence, you know, to be able to
exactly
jumpstart. Because now, is that service still in existence?
Still, two people are doing my job. And they are there, and they are they're actually my friends, colleagues, but also they study with us at the Chi Europe. They were students, and then they have their own service, you know, host calls. But then when I left, I say, okay, we need two persons to do this, because I used to at some points I used to do like three rooms, you know, 20 dogs in one day, 20. I was like a chicken with no head, you know. Like,
oh, yeah, yeah.
And that was, for me, I stopped enjoying it. And then and I thought, okay, no, I need to stop this because it's too much. And then, okay, and then, yeah. But I'm very happy of how the things went because, you know, also the challenge of the adventure coming to Ireland is so beautiful. I don't know if you know this country, but okay, it's raining, but it's beautiful. Now in the spring, it's amazing. All the flowers and the colors and really nice. So,
Well, I'm happy to hear that your service in Spain has continued on. I mean, that just, mm-hmm. I think that's where change occurs when you can have a service like that at a university where other specialists are seeing, mm-hmm. you know, how much acupuncture can do. And, you know,
exactly.
That.
They keep on working on that. They keep on doing the service. And now that we are able, like next week, no, but the week after, I'm going to Spain. I'm going to them to give a talk to the students about acupuncture, students on the fourth and fifth class, and how they can so they can know that we have this possibility, you know, this speciality in the veterinary medicine that they can go ahead when they finish. So I'm going to give a talk. The new dean is also very keen and very, very happy to forward because she know me from before. So yeah, so everything is going well. It's a very proactive university, you see. I'm very open-minded.
Oh, that's wonderful. You know, like you're going to give this lecture and maybe if the majority of those students never consider doing acupuncture, at least they're aware of what it is, what it can do.
Exactly. Or that you can really make a career on this, you know, and it can be your specialty. I will talk about my experience and also about, of course, what is indicated, like a really basic it's a talk of a couple of hours, but I hope that I can sparkle or enlighten a little bit on some of them so they can follow this or at least they know exist and it's not quackery is the word? Or
yes,
you know,
yes.
It's science-based, which right. is what we want to hear, yeah? So that's great. I'm very thankful. I think everything in life, you know, comes for a reason. And I think also it's important to change, to keep on going. Because if you feel stuck, you need to move. You need to change. You need to do something else.
Yes. So you've made this move to Ireland. You're seeing more horses. What are there other differences between working in a university setting and the clinical setting you're in now?
Yeah, there are because I am on my own in the way that on my own pace as well, you know. So I don't have that pressure. I go once a week to a very good veterinary hospital specialist here in Ireland for a small animal. That was my first contact here, and I'm very thankful to them because they were working as interns, I think, in University of Florida, actually. So they knew Dr. Shea and they know about acupuncture and what acupuncture can do. So they were very happy to have the service. And I thought, okay, I don't want to lose my contact with a small animal because I really, you know, like to be updated and everything. So that's what I do for once a week. And then I go, and the rest I do the horses. With the clinical, yeah, it's a different stuff, you know. I go out, I don't feel stuck in a room, you know. I like also being in the nature. I find myself very rural in that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tell me how, just, excuse me, the ability to do your work in horses and small animals, and I know that you must try to stay current in order to do a good job. You have to stay current on traditional medicine for those species as well. How have you managed to fit all that in?
All right, but for the small animal, no problem. I work with a wonderful team, you know, that they take me in whatever I need to know. And actually, I was one of the best part of working in the university was that I always, you know, in contact with people that they are constantly updating themselves, you know, and doing So these people here at the Veterinary Specialist Island, they're also pretty much like universities. They work very much like that. So that's no problem. With the horses, I what I give is more like TCVM vet. You know, I don't do Western at all. So when I see something that is beyond my possibilities, or maybe, to be honest, they come to me when they have finished all the possibilities, you know, when they just put them on the fields and they're like, okay, I don't know what else to do. And then they contact. And but I find that here in Ireland, the people, they like the Chinese herbal medicine for horses. They love it, you know. So they love these things. And for me, it was a wonderful surprise. It was like, okay, I wouldn't even, you know, they do a lot for their horses. They love their horses. They love to take care of them. Someone told me one day, we do more for our horses than for our kids. So for them, it's very essential, you know, to keep them healthy and happy. And they see the results. You know, the horse, I don't know, you practice with horses?
I don't any longer. I used to.
But you used to. So you see, you know that how fast the horse can react. That's incredible. Because I see the horse once, and I give the acupuncture treatment, aqua, whatever, you know, and then the herbs, and then the food recommendation. And then I see the horse in a month or 6 weeks. And then the horse is so much better. And I'm like, wow, only one treatment. I am made myself, you know. Yeah. So they are like, they connect very fast, I think, to them, with themselves, you know, and with the nature and with the balance that they need. That's my feeling.
Yeah. Are you able to import Jingtang herbs, or what sort of sourcing are you?
Yes. We do Jingtang herbs. You know, my husband, he runs the, we have established here a company, and then he does part of the company is the distribution of the Jingtang herbs in Europe. So we import them directly from Florida. Yeah. Like, it's a nutritional supplement. Yeah.
In Europe.
So it's not difficult.
So before I let you go, I want to just touch on your involvement with organized medicine. I know you've been president of the WTCVM. Can you talk about that a little bit? How that's been important for you?
I didn't follow.
You know, how that's been a part of your life, the memberships in the groups.
How it's been a part of my life, the memberships.
How important has that been to connect with the acupuncturists, veterinary acupuncturists through the WATCVM?
Yeah, for me, well, I think it's a very important part of me. You see, I love to talk and to communicate. So for me, the chance and the opportunity to give them a little bit of my experience on the ear, this talk that we're going to give on emergencies, I think it's very important. Because sometimes it's oversight. You see, we treat with acupuncture more chronic cases. And so for me, giving the opportunity to, if anybody can find of help or interest the talk, I feel humble. I feel honored. It's my pleasure, and I will be delighted to do again as well in any time. And I think it's a medicine that we all share and we all learn from each other, from our experiences. So I love to hear others' colleagues, and I love to share if anyone, you know, can find interest in what I say. For me, it's perfect. Yeah.
Well, we're really looking forward to the webinar that we've got planned on emergencies. And, you know, the biggest thing in just talking to you and reading your bio is just how busy you've been over the years, and what an inspiration that you've been able to fit all of these things in. And just like you said, opportunity after opportunity have presented itself. And
You know, just life happens. You know what I mean? Life happens, and then you say, why not? And then do it. That's my role, I think. You know, yeah, I don't know. I mean, we didn't move from Spain because we were not happy there. We were okay. We were good, you know. I feel a bit like overwhelmed sometimes, like everyone, I think he does. But we were like, why not? Yeah, if we don't do now, probably I don't do. So let's try. We can always go back if we don't like the results of the choice that we make in life, you know, normally.
That's right.
So we say, why not? Yeah. And now our kids are very happy here, which is the most important.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Me as well. Yeah. And then, yeah. And I find the joy in simple things, which I love it as well.
So I think that's a good lesson. Well, Lorena, thanks so much for taking the time. It was wonderful to talk a little bit about your story. And we're really looking forward to your webinar.
I'm looking forward to. And thank you so much for the invitation. I would truly enjoy. Thank you, Neil.
All right. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye. Bye-bye.
This podcast is made possible through the generous support of the College of Integrative Veterinary Therapies. CIVT provides world-leading education in natural medicine, including 3 accredited postgraduate qualifications, industry-recognized certifications, and a wide range of evidence-based courses and webinars delivered by qualified and experienced practitioners. By bridging cutting-edge science and tradition, CIVT helps you to expand your treatment options to tackle your most challenging cases. And whether you're a veterinarian, veterinary technician or nurse, animal health professional, or someone who wants to learn more, they have the right course for you. Investigate their offerings at civtedu.org. If you're enjoying this podcast, we'd appreciate if you take the time to tell a friend and to give us a favorable rating on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks again for your support. We'll see you next time.